One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, but they're both assholes. One's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, one's a baller, one's a scholar, and they're both assholes. Asher Brothers Podcast coming every week. Sit down, kick back, and take a little peek into their lives, their shitty little lives. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, that was supposed to get you hyped. Kirk and Kyle Asher.
Hello, everyone. This is Kirk. And this is the Asher Brothers Podcast, the first show. The first show that existed. The first show that was Asher Brothers Podcast. Well, me and Kyle got together and we actually talked about something this week. I'm including some stuff from Blue Balls and Apathetic Gentlemen. But first, here's a clip from what we recorded yesterday, as of the drop time. I just wanted to take a moment before it starts to acknowledge that there is a noise in the background that I cannot get rid of. It's a fan situation with the way I'm recording with Kyle. We do not have professional equipment. We just have passion and drive and love of producing something that has almost no value. So enjoy.
Yeah, which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, first we got to do kind of a mini intro. Hey, everybody! Welcome to the Asher Brothers Podcast! We still do them occasionally. The first of every month, I try to put out a new episode, and this one we actually got a chance to talk. Not about NYPD Blue or something else. And, what we're going to be talking about is, well, the new Ghostbusters, and brand new. And I don't know who to talk about first.
Just pick one.
The new Ghostbusters. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it either.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like that certain characters from the universe of Ghostbusters were shoehorned in just so that they could have them in there. For example, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Besides that, and did you stay for the ending?
With the...
At the end of the credits, there's like a 2 minute scene. Did you stay for that?
I don't remember if I did. I don't think so.
Okay,
but I
so spoilers. At the end of it, they're all hanging out in the. Okay, so there's three things that there's. Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. The firehouse make prominent showings in the movie.
Uh huh.
That bothered me. That bothered me too. Because, like, I was fine with them having the bust of Harold Ramis. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm fine with them bringing in Aykroyd and all those guys to, like, just kind of be different characters. I was fine with that. That didn't bother me. I knew they were going to do that anyways. That's okay. That because they weren't their characters from Ghostbusters. That's all that mattered to me. I don't care that they were making a new Ghostbusters because they promised me it wasn't going to be based off the old one.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine with that. So Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes out. Fine with that. Because I'm assuming it's in a world that has the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, but it's different. It's new. That's fine. I don't care about that. The firehouse? Go fuck yourself. That is like the main place that the Ghostbusters hang out. That bugged me. at the end, all four of them are in the firehouse. Leslie Jones gets on some headphones. And they go, what do you hear? And she goes, hey guys, who's Zool? And I about lost it.
Really?
I looked at Maria and I was like, fuck that. And Maria's like, well, don't get so angry. I'm like, no, fuck that. Zool is the main bad guy in the first episode. How can you say we're going to be different and then fucking shoehorn him in for a fucking sequel? That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty bullshit. I didn't know that.
But other than that, 95, I give it 95%.
95?
I thought it was funny as fuck.
I don't know.
The plot sucked, but that doesn't matter because I feel like they kind of had to make it funnier than have a plot because people were going to hate it. I enjoyed that all four girls weren't told to be like Megan, I don't know her name, Melissa McCarthy. Melissa McCarthy, like they didn't tell Melissa McCarthy, you need to be like Bill Murray's character. What's her name?
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. You need to be like Dan Aykroyd. Crazy blonde girl. You need to be like
Kate McKinnon.
Racist. You need to be like Ernie Hudson.
Leslie Jones.
like they didn't tell them that's who they had to be, which I was fine with, and I liked the characters that they made up. I thought the story was weak, but other than that, I thought those four women together were super funny, and there were some really funny parts.
I saw it with Rick, his girlfriend Jessica, Sean, and his girlfriend Catherine. And by the way, I said that I don't treat women like individuals, so they can't be Ghostbusters. Meh, meh, meh. But I saw it with them, and I laughed. There were some jokes that I laughed at. I did not think that Thor was that funny. I did not think that Chris Hemsworth was as funny as they thought he was.
I thought he was pretty funny because he was just, like, his character was funny. I thought to make this, like, really hot guy super dumb and them to be just okay with it, I thought that was funny. I really thought that was kind of funny because they were kind of playing off of what... I took it as this. Those, like, Paul Feig and those four women were probably like, hey, they do this to women all the time. She's really smart, she's dumb, but they still have her work there.
Yeah,
why don't we do that with Chris Hemsworth? I thought that was funny.
I think they saw Chris Hemsworth in the Vacation movie, and they were like, well, what if he's in, like, 50% more? And I didn't like that much, so.
I just didn't understand how all of a sudden he became a bad guy.
Oh, he got, like, possessed.
But I know, but there was a lot of scenes that were skipped that explained shit. It just, like, happened. That's what I didn't like. At least in the Ghostbusters, the original movies, no matter how far-fetched their ideas were, there were scenes that kind of helped explain it. But in this, it just kind of seemed like their story was, like, just...
This is... Because there's a bunch of stuff to talk about with the Star Wars... I was going to talk about Star Trek all of a sudden. I saw that. I really dug it. But
I haven't seen it yet.
The Ghostbusters, like, I understand that I shouldn't be upset that they remade Ghostbusters. And I get that. I should just accept this movie with an open mind. And is it a good movie? And when we came out of the theater, I was like, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. And they were like, what are you talking about? It was great. And I was like, okay, fine. If we want to go by your metric, was the original Ghostbusters good? Regardless of this new movie. Like, yeah, it's great. It's one of the best. It's like, was Bridesmaids one of the best comedies? Yes. It's like, is this as good as Bridesmaids?
No.
And they said no. And I was like, okay, is this as good as, like, Superbad? And they're like, no, probably not. And then I was like, I don't think this movie is going to be a comedy classic. I think it's just going to be a decent comedy.
Maria said it best. It is the comedy version of all those Marvel movies. So it's not, there's not a good story. There's really no plot, but they made it super actiony, super funny, and just basically an attention grabber, which I agree with. I would put those movies up against the Avengers, the fucking the Guardians of the Galaxy, all that shit, because those don't have any substance to me like this did. And this didn't either. But it was funny. I felt like the CGI was too much sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But overall I enjoyed it. Like, I had a good time watching it. I didn't hate it.
Real quick question, because you talked about the cameos. I felt like, once I saw him, not only did Bill Murray not want to be there, I think Bill Murray counted down the seconds until his character was killed so he never has to be associated with this again.
Oh, I went the other way. I think he enjoyed being there because he knew he was going to die. That was his one goal. He's like, I'll do Ghostbusters, but I got to die. And so I feel like he was like, okay, I'm cool with this. I can die right now. You know what I mean? That's how I felt with it. But to each his own. Here's the thing. I don't care if they want to give four women the lead to a movie. Especially those four women, because those four women are funnier than I'll ever be.
True.
Like, I think Kristen Wiig, Leslie Jones is funny, but she's not that funny to me. I think Melissa McCarthy's funny, but she's not that funny to me. But I think Kristen Wiig, and I forgot the other girl's name.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. Those two are the fucking hilarious. And they can do whatever they want. But all I have to say is, why not put those four women in a room and say, write a script and let's make that. Write a comedy. Doesn't have to be sci-fi. It doesn't even have to be, like, female-driven where there's a love story. Just do whatever comedy you want to do. We don't care. It's, and then try to make that. Why have to? Why remake the Ghostbusters? Like, the thing is like when they remade RoboCop, I didn't give a fuck. Because the first RoboCop is shit. Let's be real. It's a B-movie.
No, first RoboCop is very good. That is wrong. It's incorrect.
It's a B-movie. Relax.
No.
It's like Roadhouse. Relax.
It's way better than Roadhouse.
But the remix didn't bother me because I knew the remix was like, who gives a fuck? It's going to suck anyways. So my thing was, is why not just give them their own movie or let them do their own movie? Why do we have to keep remaking shit and changing genders or changing color? Like, it was all like, oh, Donald, what's Childish Gambino is going to be Spider-Man, and everyone lost it. It's like, why not just let Childish Gambino write a comedy superhero? You know, like something different, creative.
The issue with that is that they made Spider-Man because Peter Parker had been Spider-Man for so long. They made a 15-year-old half-black, half-Puerto Rican kid in New York be Spider-Man.
No,
so they were like, well, maybe they should make him the new Spider-Man because we've seen Peter Parker like two times already.
Problem is there's too many white people, a lot old white men alive who've read Peter Parker as a white guy.
Yeah.
That was never going to happen. I get that. But why, like... The thing is like, and I understand it's hard for them to, it's hard for minorities and women to get movies made about minorities and women, but if we're gonna take things that we love and shit on them and then force these women into it so then men, all they do is talk shit on women and say, like, they'll never be as funny as the original four, they're women, they... Why are we doing that? Why not give them their own platform to show people that they're funny in their own way? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Because, like, that's why I use Bridesmaids as a good example. Because in Bridesmaids, like, that was such a female-driven comedy, but nobody cared. Like, it was just so funny. And, like, no one left the theater going, like, oh, man, I'm so upset that those women are being funny in that movie about women. So
it's like, have you seen the trailer for Bad Moms?
I haven't seen it. I heard it's funny.
I think that shit looks funny as fuck. All women. Why can't we do that with those four?
Well, it's
like, I don't understand.
It's something that's been said on the other show I do. What they need to start doing is writing, like, independent female leads. You don't remake things with female leads. You make new independent female leads, because that's how you break the mold of the white male savior in your movie. That's how you fix it. You don't fix it by taking the white savior of your movie and turning it into a woman or a black savior, or a Hispanic savior or an Asian savior. Before we, like, kind of drift away from Ghostbusters, and real quick, is there like a fan moving through your house?
Yeah, do you want me to turn it off?
Well, occasionally I can't hear my own voice. Maybe it's just if you don't direct it at you, or if you don't...
Is that better?
Yeah,
it's a little...
Turned it
down to one.
It's
just
a little bit better.
Fucking hot in here, so...
Sorry.
I can't do it fully.
Sorry.
Is that better?
It's better. So I want to talk about something else that was really weird that happened. During the new Ghostbusters, there's a scene where they go to a concert, a metal show. The lead singer of that show is a comedian named Adam Ray. I'm not fucking around. Adam Ray follows me on Twitter.
Okay.
And I saw his face and I was like, I think that dude randomly followed me on Twitter. And Rick is like, whatever. And then I pulled out my phone and I put the picture up and I was like, that's the guy. And then he looked on the screen, he's like, and then he looked over at Sean and Catherine and Jessica and they're like, that dude follows Kirk on Twitter. It was just a weird moment. And it made me feel very strange because I was like, he doesn't even know who I am, most likely.
Did you direct message him or something? Did you say, hey, Adam Ray, fucking loved you in Ghostbusters, brah?
No, because that's how you get unfollowed. But no, the thing I kind of wanted to leave with this, because I understand that it's not about, like, men versus women or anything like that. It's just Hollywood trying to make money and using us to make that money.
But I also think it's Hollywood saying, like, here... You guys keep bitching about women not being leads. Now you have them in the Ghostbusters. Shut the fuck up. And it's like, that's not the answer that we're looking for. What we're looking for is that, you know, women can go, hey, I got this movie idea. And you go, yeah, let's talk about it. Not, you're a woman, I'm not going to listen to you because I'm an old white man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I don't like. But sorry, you were saying.
There was a weird thing where women, I saw like on Twitter and I saw in an interview, I don't know where I saw it, but someone said, basically what all of these dudes are saying is women can't be Ghostbusters. And I was like, first off, Ghostbusters is a fictional profession. I'm not saying a woman can't be a Ghostbuster by saying I don't like the new Ghostbusters movie that much. What I am saying was I really like the original and I don't like this reboot. That has nothing to do with whether or not women could be Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
If they came out with the greatest comedy movie of all time and it just happened to be the Ghostbusters with women, cool. All right.
Yeah.
I think what they came out with was like a pretty okay comedy that had women in it being Ghostbusters, and we all just moved on.
And then the other night, we were talking about Ghostbusters, and someone who saw it was like, yeah, I didn't really appreciate how, you know, Leslie Jones isn't in it the whole time. She comes in like three quarters of the way, halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, Ernie Hudson did the same thing.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson wasn't an original Ghostbuster. Like,
no,
I had to school them. I was like, Ernie Hudson's not an original Ghostbuster, people. The original Ghostbuster are the three white guys. Ernie Hudson gets added on because they need help, and he's the only one that fucking goes for the job.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, he comes in for a job interview, and they're like, you want to work? Yeah, you're hired. And then they move on. Like, that's it. He's the only person that comes in for the job. But I get what you're saying. Like, but I thought Leslie Jones was funny.
Also, I want to say this about Leslie Jones. Like, she got a lot of shit. I liked her character probably the most because she wasn't dumb. She actually, like, knew about history. She knew about the history of New York. She knew about buildings. She just, like, had a job she didn't like and was like, maybe I'll help out these women with this ghost-busting thing and see what happens. I liked the characters because they were fully dimensionalized. And Leslie Jones even more because they could have easily made her the dumb, sassy black woman.
Oh, yeah. They could have just made her... Yeah, they could have just made her fucking... God, you don't watch... You don't watch 30 Rock, huh?
Not all the way through. I've seen a couple.
I was gonna say Tracy Jordan's wife.
Yeah,
when she has her own TV show, King of Jordan or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's my day till payday or something like that. Like, she could have said stupid shit like that, you know, like been a stereotype. But what I enjoyed is like I thought they were funny, and I really liked how Leslie Jones just kept popping up at their place, and they're like, "What are you doing here?" She's like, "Oh, I'm just hanging out here to work." Like, she would never leave. I thought it was so funny.
I also dug Kate McKinnon. I dug her quite a bit, because the easy play is just be Asperger's,
Egon.
Just be Asperger's, yeah. Egon. But she was like, "No, I'm just gonna be the woman that you don't know what's going on."
Yeah, like, I'm just gonna be I'm just gonna be the weirdest person in the room, like the whole time. I really liked it. I thought it was super funny. The story, okay, it's stupid. Like, don't go for the story, but I thought it was an okay movie. I don't know.
Interesting. And that's another thing that I when someone says, "Hey, we're gonna remake Ghostbusters," I don't think anybody says no to doing it, you know. And a lot of people,
they must have said it for a while.
But no, I'm talking about people who acted in it. Because you got a Michael McDonald from Mad TV, who's in it for, like, 5 minutes. No, not even 5 minutes, like, 2 minutes total. And he has, like, one really, really, really good joke.
Yeah, they had a lot of weird, like, Cecily Strong is in it.
Yeah.
Andy Garcia's in
Andy
it.
Andy fucking
like,
Garcia.
Fucking Andy Garcia's the mayor, randomly.
Like, there are weird, weird cameos by people who are not in Ghostbusters, who are just, like, probably heard that there's gonna be a Ghostbusters movie and then called the right people, or... other way around. They called him and they said, "Do you want to be in it?"
I thought it was awesome when Sigourney Weaver was in it.
Yeah, because Sigourney Weaver, I was like, why would she show up?
When she showed up, I was like, oh shit, I forgot about her. Like, that's awesome. I was so stoked that Sigourney Weaver made it. A little bummed Rick Moranis didn't show up.
Well, that, once I saw, when I saw, because we saw Bill Murray, and then
you see all four. You see Sigourney Weaver, and then you see the receptionist. She's there as something.
She's also there. You see, I felt like Dan Aykroyd's lines were really weird. Like, I felt like he was in a bad SNL sketch.
I felt like Dan Aykroyd said, "You get me for 2 hours. That's including everything." That's including setup. That's including makeup. That's including me saying my lines. I'm showing up at 11 and I'm leaving at 1.
I think
that's what it felt like with Dan Aykroyd.
I don't know. I felt like that was Bill Murray, and Dan Aykroyd was the guy that was super jazzed, but they basically told him, like, you have enough time to do this. And that's, I don't know. I thought Ernie Hudson's shit was funny.
That's not how it really works, though. What they do is they film as much as they can and then edit the scenes together. So I don't know. Or maybe the shit he did just wasn't good, and that's the best they could get out of him. That could be what's happening. It's like Dan Aykroyd isn't killing it as an actor lately, you know?
It's true. Ghostbusters, I mean, I don't really want to see a sequel. I don't know.
It's just crazy how fat Dan Aykroyd got. Like, Bill Murray's not as fat. Bill Murray's not that fat. Ernie Hudson's not that fat. I mean, Harold Ramis got fat as he got older.
But it's
Harold
Ramis.
Dan Aykroyd looks like the dude from Nothing But Trouble now.
It's
like,
true.
He looks like the guy with the prosthetic face and shit. It's fucked up.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I think I would have been, if it was really bad, the first thing I would have said was, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they did this. Why, like, at any point did anybody look at each other and go, why are we doing this? Instead, I looked at it and I was like, man, it's just, they're trying so hard to just make Ghostbusters, like, the new place we start at with, like, comedy ensemble stuff. Kind of like the Knocked Up stuff and the 40-Year-Old Virgins. Like, we're going to start our own thing where we have sci-fi comedies with all these, like, people coming in. And I was like, man, but, it, like, you don't have to do Ghostbusters for that. You don't have to make it Ghostbusters. You can just make something else. But, I don't know. Make it Galaxy Quest. Let's have a Galaxy Quest reboot. Because I watched...
I love Galaxy Quest.
You know, I watched all of the Star Trek movies, and then I saw Beyond for the DLM thing. Like, Star Trek is so funny on its own, because it's so serious. Like, everything's really official, and like, so if you did that with, like, all of these comedians, and they all have different ships, and they're all dealing with aliens and stuff, it'd be so much fun, but I don't know. And also, Galaxy Quest doesn't have... I don't think there'd be many people pissed off that they redid Galaxy Quest. It's funny, but...
Tim Allen might, because he needs a job.
And some very select Alan Rickman fans. Who would be like, you can't do it without Rickman. But...
I say you don't. I just say you, like, do an homage to his character and, like, it died.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. You know, something crazy like that. I don't know.
They address Leonard Nimoy's death in Beyond. Which was cool.
I thought it was good. I give it a solid B+, A-.
Mm-hmm. I gave it like a B-.
That's fair.
I'd watch it. Like, I'd watch it. Like, if it came on, I'd be like, let's take a look. Because there are some scenes that are really funny, but there are some scenes where I was like, what? Like, I don't understand what the joke is. And, I don't know. Some of the character stuff is funny. Like the way they come up with the logo, with the... graffiti artist thing?
Yeah, that was weird.
What? And, I don't know.
That was really weird.
So?
Yeah, there was a few weird things, but, I mean, most movies nowadays that aren't, like, Academy Award winning movies don't have a plot that makes sense because people don't care. So, and let's be real, a lot of people who probably went and saw the Ghostbusters, this is their first Ghostbuster movie. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And that's fine. They're dumb. But that's fine.
They're dumb.
They're stupid as fuck. But that's fine. That's their problem. Like, it's a good movie, but it does not hold a candle to the first one. Like, not even close. Like, it's good, but it's not the first one. It's not the first one. It's not.
Because, yeah, the characters in the first one you can't recreate now.
Nah.
They're too subtle and, like, perfect.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, I don't know how we transitioned, but we both saw a band that I've loved for a while.
Okay, we saw Brand New.
Yeah, you saw them at the Garden.
I liked them before you. I liked them way before you.
Yeah, that's true.
So, we're kind of what was at the show. You have one person who loves their first two albums, and then you have people who love their third and fourth album.
Well, I love all of them equally.
I know. I know. And I like the third one. I haven't heard much of the fourth one. I started listening to the third one a lot more before I went to the show, and I like it. I like it a lot. Still not better than Deja, but I like it. Haven't gotten to Daisy yet. Taking my time.
Daisy's an interesting set of songs.
So did they play three songs and then go to Tattoo?
I think so.
Okay. So the first three songs that they played, one of them was Sowing Season, the song Yeah.
Well, they didn't play that first with us.
No, they played it second with us.
I think, I can't remember, I should have written down the order.
I don't remember what they opened with, but it's a song off of not Daisy, but... So the first two songs were off of Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, from what I remember. Because the first song I kind of knew vaguely, and I was like, oh, okay, this is really good live. Then they played Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, new appreciation for this song. Then I think they played a song after Daisy. Then it got Pitch Black. And then all of a sudden you just hear, dum, dum, ksh.
Yeah.
Place went nuts.
Absolutely
right?
Insane.
That's when like everything hit me, and I was like, holy fuck, I'm never going to see them again. Okay, that's when it hit me, and I was sitting like you were, because I was at the Garden.
Yeah.
And I was basically sitting on the other end of the stage looking straight at them. So mm-hmm. I was looking at the stage the whole time. I couldn't really see them, but I could, like, it didn't matter, I could hear well. So then they jump into the second song.
Sick
Transit Glory or whatever, and they're playing it, right? And then you know how, like, there's that part where he's singing, but then there's that words in the background, where it's like, up the stairs, the stairs, but he's still singing. Kirk, the crowd got so loud singing the second part, I couldn't hear him anymore.
Yeah.
So he's singing, and they're singing the second part, I got chills, and then they jumped right into it, and I was like, fuck, dude, this sucks so bad. I got so sad. Yeah. I got, like, incredibly sad, because they went from Sick Transition Gloria to another one off of Deja.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, God damn it. And they just kept playing all these songs. And then they went away, and their encore was the acoustic song off of Deja.
Yeah.
And he comes out and goes, this is a Long Island song. And then, like, everyone in the crowd lost it. Like, it got so quiet just to listen to it. Then they played a song I don't remember, and then they left. And immediately after they left, I was like, this is garbage. I can't believe they're leaving. Because when they left, I don't know if they did the same thing for you. They just had huge screens, and it said brand new, 2000-whatever to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, fuck, it's over. They had flowers all over the stage like it was a funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, this
The shirt I'm wearing now, it shows a guy ascending to heaven, and then it says brand new, 2000 to 2018.
I didn't buy a shirt. I didn't have any money, but I just remember thinking, like, that was probably the best way to say goodbye.
Well, here's the thing, because someone
didn't play. Pissed me off. They didn't play any songs off the first album.
None. Zero.
I was like, you have to, like. I mean, I understand you guys are grown up. And
they also didn't. Like, they didn't play the quiet things at ours.
What?
They didn't play quiet things.
They played it at ours. Place went fucking nuts, dude. But they played it really fast, which I didn't like.
I think,
but it was still good.
I think because they started late, I think that's what they cut. But they... Well, here's the thing with Brand New. Brand New is a band I could put on random, their entire catalog, and just like whatever is playing. So, whatever songs they were playing was just great. But what they did at our show is, like, the whole place went black. I was sitting off to the side, and the entire pit is, like, people getting super stoked. And then Jesse Lacey comes out, and he goes, hi, we're Modest Mouse. And the place goes fucking nuts. And then they have two drummers. Well, like, a percussionist. No, the Brand New had two drummers at our show.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And they just start going, boom, 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 boom. I don't want to let you go. But my hands to, and I was like, it's actually brand new. And then when they got to the part where he screams, the whole place lights up and people are just fucking moshing and getting on top of each other. And I was like, why can't I go down there? Why do we have fucking stupid ass tickets that forced me to be up here? Because that was so much fun to watch. Like, people losing.
When 70% of the floor was open.
Yeah, what the fuck?
At our show, 70% of the floor was open. They had one front pit, then they had a wall, and a second back pit on the floor that wasn't fully full. Like, you could have let more people down there. It was so annoying. But, so here's the thing. Modest Mouse opened for us because they were in New York.
Yeah.
Modest Mouse was fucking garbage. They came out, all the lights were on, and they just fucking played like they did not give a shit. It was like an hour of music that was like horrible. Like, I kept looking at Maria going, why are they playing? Why are they even playing? Like, they obviously don't want to be here. Like, this has to suck for Brand New. They're opening most of the time. Most people are probably coming to see Brand New on this tour. Like, why did they ask Modest Mouse? I didn't get it. Mm-hmm. It was garbage. It was so bad. Like, Modest Mouse, it disappointed me. It made me not, like, I have no respect for Modest Mouse. And, if they're ever at anything I'm at, I'll never watch them again. but Brand New was really good. I was bummed they didn't play anything off of the first album. They played Quiet Things. I got a little sad because mm-hmm. that was like the first song I heard by them that I liked, and I was like, oh fuck, and I went back and then I caught up. But like, it was just sad. It's like, when it was all like during the show, it was really funny. During the show, the first, like, they're playing Sewing Season, and Maria like turns in and she's like, do you know this song? And I just looked at her, and she knows when, like, I just looked at her and nodded my head, and she kind of knows, like, okay, don't, like, let Kyle be. So for the whole rest of the show, she didn't talk to me mm-hmm. because I was just trying to enjoy it at the same time, not get sad. Because mm-hmm. it's like my childhood. Like, mm-hmm. Deja is an album about growing up. That's the album that I listened to about growing up. And it's like, God damn it, man. Like, it's no longer there anymore.
Well, here's the thing. They've never mentioned, they didn't say that they're actually breaking up for sure. The thing is, and someone pointed this out to me, one of the songs off their first record is, the last song is, gonna be 18 forever. And he's like, what if they just come out, like, when their album comes out in 2016, then tour on that album, then at the end of that album it'll be 2018, and they're like, yeah, we're just gonna be 18 forever, and then announce, like, another tour, or announce that they're done, but we don't know.
I don't, are they putting out another album?
Yeah. There's an album scheduled for late 2016.
I think, this is what I think. I think they did this warm-up tour. They're going to put this album out. They're going to go on one more tour, and then that's it.
Because I want to see that one more tour for sure.
Or, they're going to put this album out due to, like, 7 select dates.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what Brand New does.
Mm-hmm.
And then just be like, PCZ, we're out.
Well, the thing that really bothers me is they had that at the Observatory. They did 2 full nights where they did the full first 2 albums and the second 2 albums, and they were on days I couldn't go.
And they sold. I heard they sold out in like 4 seconds. Too.
And the only reason I got fucking shitty seats this time is because Ticketmaster fucked me over when I went to go get tickets like months ago. Like, when I got to my seat, I was like, God damn it, Ticketmaster. And nobody was there. And I was there early. I was like, I could have been there on the floor in that spot getting ready to go fucking buck wild. But no, I'm up here with these assholes. And bothered me. But,
it was good. If they come so back, stoked. If they come back here, I would try to get a ticket closer. Like, I would like to see them up close. Yeah. I would really like to see them at the Glass House.
Yeah.
That would be, like, if I could have one more time to see them and I got mm-hmm. to pick, I'd want to see them at the Glass House. And I'd like to see, like, I don't know who I'd like to see open for them. I don't think I'd want to see anyone open for them. I would just want them to play for 2 hours.
I would want, also, Two Tongues is going on tour.
Yeah,
it's going to be Say Anything and Saves the Day opening and then Two Tongues.
Hey, real quick, I don't know if you saw that. That was me going to fucking Max Bemis and Chris Connolly from Saves the Day. Like, your period of emo supremacy ended, so stop making emo music. It's not a thing anymore, guys.
Also, what I loved about my show is their last song, Jesse Lacey didn't, like, jump into the drums. He just started stepping on the drums. And then when the song was over, he just dropped his guitar. Like, he didn't throw it down, he's just like, meh. And then walked off stage, I was like, so badass. I was so excited just to see it. Because I had listened to the albums all the time. For hours.
Yeah, I had never seen them.
And I've never seen them, and once I saw it, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah. It was good. It was so good.
And there were some hardcore kids in that crowd, too, because they played, what song was it? Oh, damn it. Not yeah. Maybe Limousine or Luca? Might be Luca, where he goes, tell me where you been, and like the place went absolutely nuts on this lead, and there were like dudes straight up slam dancing in the middle of a brand new show. It's amazing.
Okay, so this would be who I would want to play with them. I'd want them to close, and I would want Jimmy Eat World to open for them.
That would never happen.
And then it would be the perfect two bands to see. Jimmy Eat World will never quit because they're Jimmy Eat World, but I think those two on a bill together would be pretty awesome because I think they kind of have the same feel to it.
If you want, like, because with a brand new show, you really should give them, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to have, like, a 30, 45-minute opener, I think it should be, like, I Am the Avalanche.
Fuck that band.
Or...
They keep writing dumb shit.
Think about
it. But, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really good. I was all about it. It made me really like, it made me like really appreciate the songs they played off of The Devil of God.
Yeah, it's a good album.
They played this song.
Yeah.
They played that song, and I was like, fuck, go fuck yourself, Jesse. Like, see, how do you pick this song? Like, you're an asshole. Like, it was good though.
He played that.
I wanted him to play this song. Where'd it go? This song, but they didn't play it.
No. I really like the one where he goes, I am, like, he did that part where he just goes, I am heaven sent. And
oh,
the whole place
right
just.
Right after, dude. Right after.
I am. Yeah. They could have played anything. They could have played anything. So.
Is this the song you're talking about? Yeah. Dude, they played this song too. They played this song.
Here comes the coats and overcoats.
I fucking lost it when they played that song. Like, all of those, I was just like, God damn it, man. Never gonna see something like that again. It was kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A bummer.
Also, I mean, you sent me the message, and I'm just relaying it here. The new Every Time I Die stuff sounds good.
And I haven't heard Glitter, or Glitz, or whatever it's called.
Glitches.
Or Glitzen, or something. I haven't seen that. I haven't heard that yet. I heard the other one. I forgot what it's called. But he basically says, we're like I'm like Metallica without the drugs. That breakdown at the end is fucking great. I love everything about it. The Coin Has a Say. That's
the Coin
song
Has a Say. Or the part where... I think it's about his kid. I think it's about him realizing that now that he has a kid, like, everything is just different. And that's why, like, I love the lyric, fuck these people, fuck this place. I think it was just him, like, going, like, oh my god, what have I done?
It's good. That's good. You know it, but I'll bring it up here. I saw Coldplay.
Oh!
Did I tell you that?
I saw Streetlight Manifesto.
Looks like one of us won.
I mean, I probably had more fun. That's all I'm going to say.
That's okay. Did you have as much fun when you saw Streetlight? Did Michael J. Fox come out and play Earth Angel and Johnny B. Goode with
he didn't, Kyle.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I think I had more fun.
Fine. We get it.
But that was really cool. That was a pretty cool thing to see.
Kyle got to see Michael J. Fox play Earth Angel and Johnny B. Goode on stage.
So this is what they do. So they play like a rock set where they have like a full like drums and bass and guitar and piano and Chris Martin has an acoustic guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the stage, it's more of like a toned down version where it's just like bass, piano, and then like a small drum machine.
Mm-hmm.
And they play some other songs. But then there's a smaller stage off to the left where they play basically like acoustic shit. So they play these two acoustic songs, and then he's like, all right, it's that time of the night where we go to the fan request of what song you want to hear. So I guess when they have a show in your city, you can vote what cover song you want to hear, and they'll try to do it. So then it cuts to the screen, and everything goes black. It cuts to the screen, and it's Chris Martin's son. And he goes, "Hey, Dad, it's me. I just wanted to say hi, and I was hoping that tonight, because I'll be there, you could play our favorite song from our favorite movie, Back to the Future." So the first thing that went through my head, I got stoked. I was like, yes, fucking Huey Lewis is going to come out. They're gonna play the Power of Love. I was like, they're going to kill it with the fucking Power of Love, and then they're going to play like...
Don't need money!
They're going to play one more Huey Lewis song, like, "This Is It," or something like that, you know? And then he's like, okay, and then he's like, "Let's play it, our favorite song, Earth Angel." And then they're playing it, and I was like, what? And they're like, "Yeah, let's bring out another favorite guitar player who loves this song." And I was like, "No, they're not." And I'm like, "Mr. Michael J. Fox." I was like, "You motherfuckers, dude." And he came out and he played, and then everyone went crazy. He's like, "Mike." They looked at him like, "Mike, do you have time for one more?" And he just looks at him and he goes, "Yeah." And then all of a sudden he plays the intro. And I was just like, wait, I thought he was shaking too much. But no, dude, he killed it. And he just fucking stood up there like Michael J. Fox, like he knew what he was doing. And then when everyone was done, he just like waved and went home. And it was fucking rad, dude. It was Michael J. Fox. I just wanted him to get on the mic and be like, you may not be ready for that now, but your kids are going to love it.
We're talking about shows. I mean, I don't hold a candle to that story, but I went to see Streetlight and they had a guy open. They had two dudes open, and one of them, he's like, I'm trying to write a song for every day of this tour and play it on stage. And he goes, "Here's the one I wrote for today." And it was like, "Freddie didn't give you permission to use his song at your convention." And like, And then, like, the song gets darker, and he goes, "The truth is, he died of AIDS, and you don't give a fuck about that, or him now." And like, the whole place went absolutely nuts. And he wrote another song about, like, at one point, he's like, "Building a wall won't get your eyes..." Oh, what is it? "Building a wall won't make you bigger. Building a wall won't make you see over the fact that there's no differences, blah, blah, blah." But... basically that show also proved that Streetlight Manifesto wrote the same song 40 times, and it doesn't matter because they're all great. From beginning to end, that show was just all energy and all fun and never stopped.
I mean, it does matter. I mean, I don't know. It does matter a little bit.
But yeah, so that was, I don't know, what we've been doing lately. Asher Brothers Podcast, back with a real one, kind of.
Yeah, that's all I got, really. That's all I got.
Later.
Later.
And that was that, but it's not over. Up next, we have a little bit of stuff that we took out of episodes, season 1, episode 18, and season 1, 19, of NYPD Blue Balls. That just had nothing to do with NYPD Blue or balls. So here they are.
And the beginning of season 2. But other than that, I mean, this episode's kind of straightforward with what happens. Big question, what do you mean New York accent is the weakest accent of all? Because technically, I think California's accent is the weakest of all, because it's like a lack of accent with weird-ass words.
We don't have... Okay, so what I've learned living in New York from New Yorkers is that we have an accent, but our accent is that, like, we're chill.
Yeah.
Because I've had people at school, I think we've talked about this before, be like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I'll be like, "Oh, I'm from California." They just go, "Oh, that makes sense." And I'm like, "Why does that make sense?" It's like, "Oh, because the accent you have." And I'm like, "What accent?" It's like, "Well, you're just really chill. Like, everything's really chill that comes out of your mouth. You're never really, like, rushed."
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not an accent. That's a fucking way of life, bitch. That's how we live in California. We are chill. We are laid back. We're not fucking annoying and having to run everywhere like we're late for everything.
Well, because we know that once we hit the freeway, it's going to be traffic, so why rush?
dude, if you're, like, when you come back to visit, we'll have to go to, like, Midtown and just stand there during, like, just stand there from the hours of 2 to 4 just stand in the middle of a sidewalk with like drink Cokes or something and just watch people just running everywhere. And it's like, are all of you late?
Also,
is every one of you late, or are you guys all just running because you guys don't know how to fucking chill out, you know?
Also, in theory, like, New York, it should be easier to get around because it's so close together. Like, you think about California, like, when there are people that work in different cities and then live in different cities, and they just drive. Like, in New York, you live, in theory, like, if you live on the island, it's fairly close, but if you live just off island, it's not that far.
Like, have you ever seen the episode of Malcolm in the Middle where Bryan Cranston is trying to become a competitive power walker?
No, I haven't seen that episode.
Okay, when we're done with this, YouTube that. Like, there's an episode where Bryan Cranston's wearing, like, a bike helmet that's, like, aerodynamic. He's wearing, like, a skin-tight bike suit. And he wants to be a power walker, like a fast walker. That's how everyone walks in New York. Everyone just walks fast. And it doesn't make any sense. Like, I'll be on, like, so we're on off on a tangent.
No, it's going in the episode because it's about New York. It's NYPD Blue.
Okay, so you'll be going down an escalator to get to the F train, right? So the rule
yeah,
is
you
stand to the... Huh?
Yeah, you would. The F train.
So you're supposed... The rule is when you're on the escalator, you need to stand to the right if you're not walking on the escalator. And I've never seen people take an escalator as like, no, I'm taking this escalator so I can get there faster by walking on the escalator. And so it's so funny when you're going, like, early morning, it's like 7:30, I'm getting ready to go to school, and I'm going down the escalator, and I'm letting the escalator take me because I'm fucking tired. And there's no train there at the station, but people are running to that platform. Like, they're, like, running down the escalators, panicking, and it's like, what the fuck are you running for? There's no train. I can clearly see as I'm going down the escalator, there's no train. Why are you running? You basically just ran to wait. Most people in this city run to wait for things, and that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I walked home with a friend from work the other day because he was taking the same train out here to go to a show, and we were getting to the train station, and he's like running down the steps, and he's like swiping his card quick to run through the turnstile, and he's like running down the steps to get to the train. He's like, hurry up, hurry up. And I'm like, dude, what for? There's no train here. And he was like, I guess we don't need to hurry. It's like, yeah, do you do that all the time? Like, what the fuck? Do you live your life just in a hurry? Because that sounds horrible. That's why people from New York drink so much coffee and fucking smoke so much cigarettes, because they're just like on edge all the time. And it's like, for what? What the fuck are you on edge for? And I've never been in a place, I've never lived in a place where everyone is in such a hurry to get to places, but everyone's fucking late. No one's on time. At my job, no one's on time. When you go meet friends, no one's on time. But everyone's in a goddamn hurry. And it's like, what the fuck are you in a hurry for if you're never on time? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was on the subway and we were having a train delay. But shit, that shit happens. There's nothing you can do about it, you know? Like, so we're sitting on the train, and so this lady walks up to the front car, knocks on the door where the fucking train driver's at, and starts yelling, like, you need to get this train going, I'm late for work. And in my head, it's like, not his problem. You should have left 45 minutes earlier. Like, you being late is your problem, not public transportation's problem.
Nope.
It's never public transportation's problem.
Nope.
One time I left to go to school 2 hours early because I was like, oh, I need to go, like, to the library, and I'm going to work in the library. I need to, like, check out this book, blah, blah, blah. So I left 2 hours early. Well, there's ends up being such big delays that I was almost late to class.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't blame public transportation. Shit happens. I'm glad I left 2 hours early. If I would have left at, like, a bullshit time, that's on me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just the weirdest place. I've never been in a place where everyone is, like, moving so fast, yet everyone's late. Like, I don't get it. I know. And it's like public transportation here is so nice. Like, you could take a train to one stop and that stops a block from where you're supposed to be, yet you're always late.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get it. It doesn't compute in my brain, I guess.
Speaking of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, slight tangent, but we're still talking about cops. Did you see the Lethal Weapon reboot is coming to TV? They're making a Lethal Weapon reboot. They are rebooting Lethal Weapon for television. It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. Like, have they just run out of, like, there's a, I have met alone through Maria's school 50 very creative people who could make, like, new TV shows or new movies. Like, why do they keep redoing it, you know? Like, I don't get it.
Because it's a business, man, and they gotta make their money back. And the only way you do that, what they name everybody recognizes. Who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Did you know that's coming out? Because every fucking TV and street advertisement is for this Ghostbusters movie nobody asked for.
Well, I don't have cable, so I don't see commercials. But, I mean, I've seen like the trailers and stuff. I mean, I think men need to put their dicks away and get over it. It's for women. I'm just worried that it's not gonna be a good movie.
Well, I mean, this is a little slight tangent, but it's about New York. I'm a little annoyed that I was told this is a straight new universe. It's a reboot from Ground One. It has nothing to do with the original. Slimer and the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man are in it. What? How? How is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in this movie? How? How are you going to do that? How is the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man going to be in this movie? Is he going to be something somebody thought up? Because then that's a completely unoriginal idea. Is it Gozer again? No, it isn't, because they've already said it's not Gozer. It's a different villain. So then where did the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man come from? Like, Slimer, I'm like, okay, whatever. It's a ghost. It's just another ghost to be in the background. But Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is a very specific part of that first movie. Like, it's not just something that, like...
Well, it's also, yeah, it's very specific to Dan Aykroyd's character.
Like, yeah, when he thinks, oh, think everybody clear your head, and then he's like, it just popped in there. Like, that was Dan Aykroyd thinking up, like, the most harmless thing he could think of, and it turned out to be a giant marshmallow man.
But it's also very specific to Dan Aykroyd's character's past.
Yeah, so it's like...
So how can you...
How is he involved?
How can you have a? How can you say, like, I get what you're saying, like, how? But also, okay, how can you have Echo One, the car, if you're starting over? How can you take something that was in the original and bring it over and say you're starting over? You're not starting over. It's the same thing. Like, I have no problem with them making Ghostbusters with four girls. I have no problem with that. But call it what it is. Call it Ghostbusters 3. You know, like, don't call it, oh, it's a brand new Ghostbusters, we're starting over, because that's not true. And
no.
That's bullshit.
And it's what they're... And it's honestly, it's because they're Star Warsing. Like, they're selling little plush toys of Slimer and Stay Puft. And I'm like, Stay Puft shouldn't fucking be there. Stay Puft was a part of the first movie, like, very specifically. So you're shoehorning it in to, like, sell more plush toys? Like, that's fucked up. Especially for, I mean, now they're gonna say, oh, well, it's for kids and movies, you know, they're not pieces of art for you anymore. But it's like, fuck you. Ghostbusters is great. Like, Ghostbusters didn't need to be redone. But, I mean, it might be funny. I thought The Boss was kind of funny. I thought Central Intelligence was very funny, and I wasn't skeptical about that, but it's, like, I don't know. I don't see how this could be that great now.
Well, I was reading a article that said whatever movie company...
Sony.
That whatever movie company is putting out this show, putting out this movie, is really nervous because all of the screenings that they've had haven't been met well.
Yeah,
and they're not going to make their money back. And I think there's two things there. I think there's a bunch of dudes like Dad who aren't going to go see it because they're like, no, only men were Ghostbusters, which is dumb.
I don't think it's just that. I think there are a lot of people that think...
The second thing is I think that, no offense, the trailer makes it look stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't look very good, which is,
like,
weird.
The first trailer I watched with Maria was like, are you going to go see it? And I was like, yeah, I'm probably going to go see it because I love the Ghostbusters and I'm going to give it a chance. Also, I think Kristen Wiig those girls are funny.
Yeah, all those women.
All
I mean, they're women.
The two women that are on SNL, Kate McKinnon and the Leslie Jones, super funny chicks. Melissa McCarthy, really funny. Kristen Wiig, really funny. So I don't think it's not going to be funny. I think it's going. They're going to have their moments. But the trailer was just stupid. Like, it just wasn't good. And so, like, I don't know, it just makes me nervous that it's going to be a bad movie. I don't know.
It's here's what I think it is, too. Because there are a lot of dudes, and you're right, that are just, the Ghostbusters are guys. Which is a dumb thing. And I'll agree with that. There are some people that say, no, the Ghostbusters are Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. Racist. Winston Zeddemore. What's his real name?
Ernie Hudson.
God damn it.
But let's be real. He's not an original Ghostbuster.
But he is because he's the first.
But like the main three are who you mentioned: Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, and Harold Ramis. Those were the Ghostbusters. They hired him because they needed help.
Yeah.
So he became a Ghostbuster. But like, he just wanted a job.
Yeah, and they got him one.
He didn't care what he was doing. Like in the movie, he kind of alludes. He's straight up like, yeah, I just want a job. And then they kind of break it down for him that it's crazy, and so then he freaks out, and then, yeah, anyways.
I think, so it's a combination of that, it's a combination of a little bit of sexism, but it's also, like, a lot of nerds now, including myself, a lot of us are annoyed because we were told that this is a straight reboot and it's going to be scarier. It's going to be funny, but it's going to be scarier than the original.
We were told.
Like, basically, like, surrounding this movie, there was controversy because it was like, how do you reboot fucking Ghostbusters? And they told us, don't worry, we're going to do it, and it's going to be great. And then we saw the trailer, and like, that doesn't look like what you said. And then I see these plush toys, I was like, how the fuck is Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in this fucking movie? How is that even possible? And so the nerds are now like, fucking, you gave me a shitty trailer, you're already trying to sell me shit from this movie that shouldn't be in it, according to your own words. Unless you lied and this is actually a direct sequel, which if it is, just call it Ghostbusters 3 and tell us it's a direct sequel, I would have appreciated that more. Like,
do you think though that when they said that it's not going to be in a consecutive order, like it's not going to be following Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
Maybe people misunderstood what they were doing and they were just saying like, look, we're going to take the concept of Ghostbusters and start over. Because if that's the case, then I understand why Slimer and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man are in there, because they're taking what somebody wrote down as like, oh, these are the Ghostbusters, like the skeleton of it, but then they just like changed things up. They made it with women, and then the guy who's the secretary is a Hemsworth instead of a nerdy chick. You know what I mean? And they're going that way. Maybe they just didn't. I don't know. I just feel like maybe they didn't explain what they were doing well enough. That's all.
And then, I mean, we're only repeating what other people said, but when that first trailer came out, like, other celebrities were like, that's not a good trailer. Like, can we just be honest and say it wasn't a good trailer? Like, whoever cut that trailer together did not pick great jokes. All movies now basically give you the third act in the trailer, because for some odd reason they don't want people to be surprised anymore.
And here's the thing, I'm waiting to see how all of their characters are, because what made the Ghostbusters funny is that Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis were squares, Bill Murray wasn't. Bill Murray was like this sly, like, smooth-talking scientist who wasn't, like, people, like, Sigourney Weaver says it, like, you know, you're odd for a scientist, or you're like, you don't remind me of a scientist, or something like that.
You're more like a game show host.
Yeah. And from the trailer that I saw, no offense to Leslie Jones, they made her like a stereotypical black woman. You know what I mean?
And they made
Kristen McKenna seem like a fucking, like, tomboy, quiet, doesn't talk, and just says, like, really weird things. And that wasn't what Harold Ramis was.
No.
Like, I feel like she's the Harold Ramis, but the way they wrote it, from the trailer, that's not how Harold Ramis was. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, Harold Ramis was quirky, but like
Harold Ramis was
quiet.
Harold Ramis was basically Abed from Community.
Toned down Abed.
Yeah,
he wasn't as crazy as Abed, but he was toned down.
But basically,
I totally hear that.
Like
yeah.
he had no emotions really to anything. He would just be like. Like in the second movie, which people don't like, but I kind of like Ghostbusters 2 at certain parts, where they're having the experiments and he's like, let's see what happens when we take away the puppy.
Yeah.
And they all look at him like, well, you want us to take a puppy away from a child? And he's just like...
Oh, what describes him the best is when he's underneath the desk, and I think it's the first one.
Yeah.
And the chick, I forgot her name, Janine, is that her name?
Yeah.
She's like flirting with him. And then his response to something is like, I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I don't think they grasp that part of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm going to see it because I support the Ghostbusters, and I also think that those four chicks are really, don't say chicks, people get mad. Those four ladies are really funny, but I'm going in expecting not great things.
Like, yeah, I went to see The Boss, and Melissa McCarthy's funny, and she got some, because she directed, and, well, I think her husband directed it, but her and her husband wrote it, and they really made a good, they made a decent movie, because they surrounded it with actors that were funny, but the movie itself wasn't the best, but there are parts of that movie that are great, like the guy from Reno 911, the black guy, is like her bodyguard. And there were scenes where, like, they would just, like, it seems like they would just improv where he agrees to anything she says, because she's the boss. And that shit was funny. Like, that shit was so funny, because he's, like, just toeing the line and doing his thing. And then when she gets fired, or when she gets arrested, he's like, man, I gotta go back to Radio Shack. And, like, it's fucking, it's funny. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I'm just, it just bums me out that I feel like they said one thing, they're doing another, and they're trying to convince people to go see it by sheer... advertisement. And I...
So the question you have to ask yourself is, do we need the remake? Like, did we need a RoboCop remake?
No.
Did we
need
a
Point
Break remake?
No, we certainly didn't.
Do we need the Lethal Weapon remake?
No. Nope.
Do we need a fucking Roadhouse remake? Like, we don't need that shit.
Roadhouse shouldn't be... Doesn't
like, I feel like it's... Like, and Roadhouse is gonna have Ronda Rousey in it. But I feel like they're doing it just... They're doing these remakes of men movies and putting women in it, and they're kind of masking it like, look at us, we're progressive, and it's like, no, you're not. Just do more movies that do original movies that women can star in, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that would be better. Like, give women who are writing movies with a women's points of view the chance to do it. Don't take Roadhouse and be like, oh, we'll just switch it up and make it about a woman. It's like, no, I don't give a fuck. Roadhouse, the first one's garbage, too.
Roadhouse 1 is not garbage, Kyle.
Kirk, Roadhouse is
like,
garbage.
It's like modern art.
it's fun to watch because of how ridiculous it is, but it is a garbage movie. It's straight garbage.
Then you might as well say that the original Point Break is garbage.
It is.
No, it's not.
I've never seen it because...
What?
The few scenes that I have seen, they're garbage.
Kyle, Point Break is an amazing movie.
Point Break is garbage.
No, you're garbage. The only remake that needs to happen is when Maria starts making crazy money in Hollywood, and then they're looking for ideas, and we say, NYPD Blue reboot on HBO.
And we just call it Blue.
Just call it Blue.
So you're not really stealing from NYPD Blue, but you're keeping, you know, something about, you're keeping something original about it.
Anyway, NYPD Blue. What was that, huh? Talking about Ghostbusters before we see it, and I put it after we talk about the Ghostbusters. It's crazy. It's like timelines are moving, and it's all lost and stuff. Anyway, thank you for listening. This last bit is from Apathetic Gentleman, episode 23 about Pokemon Go. It was just something that happened that I thought was really funny and had to be posted somewhere. Anyway, after that clip, it's going to be over, so I wanted to thank you for listening to the Asher Brothers podcast, for supporting the show in any way you may have. If this is your first episode, thank you for listening. I'm sorry for the issues and the randomness. If you want to listen to more, I suggest you go to AsherBrothersPodcast.com and look at our old episodes. They're 100% for free there. We do have a Twitter that I don't think many people pay attention to called @AsherBrosPod. And I don't know. Enjoy your life.
get out there, make something that makes you happy. And don't worry about what other people do that makes them happy.
I also want to say, Ben, you are giving me anxiety when you're spinning the knife around.
I didn't even notice it was a knife. I thought it was a pen this entire time.
No, it's a knife that's sharp that could cut human flesh, and he's spinning it around in his fingers.
Kirk, it's not the knife that kills people. It's the people that kill
people. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, that's scary.
Unless it's porn. Then it's the actual porn that's ruining people's lives.
Not the person that chooses to watch the porn.
No.
Ben, if I want a gun that can kill an elephant at 100 yards, that's fine. But if you want to abort your child that your father gave to you after raping you, that is not your decision.
Absolutely not. We want small government, but we're going to tell women what they're allowed to do with their uteruses. Mm-hmm.
And we're sick of these faggots getting married. America.
Okay. Outro.
We're going to be going into it with a very weird energy.